الحمد لله الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم وملقي الصبر على الألم وملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم للشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا ثم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أمين يا رب العالمين. I'd first like to share what an honor it is to be here in this community. This is my first time being at this masjid, and as I come to a new masjid, I remind myself to make dua for an entire community and all of the houses of Allah that are populated every single day, especially on the day of Friday, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla accept the worship of all of us and make it a means by which all of our sins are forgiven, and that we have a new lease on our faith, a renewed sense of faith and commitment to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, I'd like to begin with something that all of our hearts are heavy with. We know the kinds of tragic and, you know, incomprehensible news that are coming from all over the world about the state of the ummah and how the blood of Muslims is being shed in places that are just in ways that is just incomprehensible. The mind can't even begin to understand. And it's one thing to not even be able to understand when Muslim, non-Muslims and those who hate Islam shed the blood of other Muslims, but when Muslims are doing it to other Muslims, it's beyond our comprehension. So we make dua that Allah alleviates the ummah from this fitna and brings relief to those who are suffering because of these trials. And at the same time, we pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that He gives us the people whose du'as are actually worthy of acceptance. That we become the people that we turn to Allah and make du'a for ourselves and our families and our loved ones and those that are having trouble anywhere they may be in this ummah. That we are not just those of empty du'a, but actually our worship means something to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That the sincerity we have in our deeds, that the tawbah we make to Allah, the repentance we come to Allah with, is actually something meaningful to Allah, so that these du'as carry weight with Him and that He alleviate the ummah from the suffering that it's going through. Now I want to start, inshallah ta'ala, with probably in my opinion, wallahu a'lam, one of the most powerful places in the Qur'an, Surah Ar-Rahman. And this khutbah is not about all of Surah Ar-Rahman, it's actually just about one ayah. And that's the last ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman. تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That's all I want to talk to you about today in these few minutes that I have with you. A lot of times we say certain phrases as Muslims, we talk to each other and we use certain terms. We use them all the time and we use them so much that actually we don't realize the power of what we're saying. Something as simple as Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Something as simple and beautiful as Alhamdulillah or Subhanallah or Tabarakallah or Barakallahu fika. We say these things, or we say Jazakallahu khayran. We say these things commonly. And most of the time we don't think twice about saying them, and most of the time you and I are not conscious of what is it that we are actually saying. One such statement is just declaring Allah's glory and Allah's, you know, His barakah. And that statement is what I want to highlight today. One or two things about the surah itself, Surah Al-Rahman itself, so that the lessons I want to share with you and remind myself of are have some kind of context. Surah Al-Rahman was revealed, actually, by most scholars' opinions, to an audience that was very antagonistic towards the deen. And they even made fun of the first ayah of Surah Ar-Rahman. When Ar-Rahman was revealed, they said, "Who is this Ar-Rahman? We don't know who this guy is. Is he from a different tribe or a village or something?" They thought it was a joke. And now when people make fun of the ayat of Allah, and they take that as a joke, you know, they take the deen of Allah and the ayat of Allah as a joke, well, they deserve the anger of Allah. And yet Allah, in response to those people, revealed these ayat. And just to finish this brief introduction to you, I want to compare what Allah does in the Qur'an, because in this surah He says, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. He taught the Qur'an. He taught the Qur'an. He described Himself as a teacher of this book. When teachers deal with students that are unbehaved, when teachers deal with students that don't want to learn, when teachers deal with students that make fun of the teacher and make fun of the lesson, when they do that, and you've been in your own classrooms as in childhood, some of you are high school, college students now, I even see younger kids in the audience. When children behave like this, or students behave like this, they get out of line in front of a teacher, the teacher has every right to punish. He has every right to discipline. He has every right to stop the lesson and say, "You, get out of my class. You, come over here, let me see you. And if you're in Pakistan, then you come after class is done. And you come over here, let me deal with you later." Right? But Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching the Quraysh. And He sent the best teacher in humanity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after hearing the best of all lessons, these are the lessons that until the day of judgment will be the best lessons ever taught. The lessons from Allah and His Quran. They listen to those lessons, and then they have the audacity to say, "Who is this Ar-Rahman? I don't get it. I don't understand." Allah has every right to be angry with these people. And yet He revealed this surah to them, in which He consistently reminded them and reminded them, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. If it was anybody else that taught the Qur'an, then this would not have been the case. That's why Allah highlighted His name. One of the hikam, one of the wisdoms. And Allah highlighting the name Ar-Rahman before He says, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ اللَّهُ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. الْقَوِيِّ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. الْعَزِيزِ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. Those are all Allah's names too. The Mighty One, the Powerful One, the Authority taught the Qur'an. No, He said Ar-Rahman taught the Qur'an. Because it's an unusual love, an unusual care from Allah, because of which the entire Qur'an was revealed to what could have been argued the worst of people. The Quraysh, the worst of people, who received the best messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best possible book. But now moving along really quickly. The word Ar-Rahman, which commonly gets translated as the merciful, or the extremely merciful. I just want to highlight some of the problems of translating and communicating the depths of the Arabic language, and through that the depths of the Quran, in any other language that includes English. It's a challenge. It's not an easy thing to do. So when we use the word merciful, we are obviously using an English term. And English terms obviously have their own context. They're used in English literature. The word merciful is actually used, or mercy generally, and used in English literature when you spare someone. Like the soldiers went into the village and they showed no mercy, which means they didn't spare anybody. Even kids play a game, they call it mercy. I don't know if you guys have that here. But mercy means you want to be spared. You want to be spared. And the idea, the first thing that comes in someone's mind when they hear the word mercy is the idea of someone about to get you, they're about to punish you, and they decide not to, and they let you go. In other words, the relationship you have with someone who shows you mercy is actually, it started from a negative point. It started with the expectation of punishment. And then that punishment was not given, so you figured that the one who talked to you or the one who was dealing with you showed you mercy. Like a police officer who pulls you over. And you were, he says, how fast were you going? Sorry, officer, I didn't mean to. Okay, be careful next time. And you're like, oh my God, even they have mercy? You would use the word in that context. Because you thought when you got out of trouble, trouble was headed your way and you got out of it, that is when you experienced mercy. But that is actually not the meaning of rahmah in the Arabic language. That is not the original connotation of the word rahmah in the Arabic language. So by constantly using the word merciful for ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim, we're missing out on something that Allah is telling us about Himself. Connotations that are supposed to come in our mind, but they can't because of the limitation of vocabulary that we have in the English language. The word rahmah in the Arabic language, it shares a root with rahm, which is the womb of a mother, the belly of a mother. When a woman is pregnant, her stomach is called rahm. Now when a child is inside that stomach, the child may not even know it, but the mother is already in love. The mother already cares. The mother already puts up with everything possible, every trouble possible, to make sure the child isn't harmed and the child isn't hungry. And all the child does is take. The child doesn't give. The child can even put the mother's life in danger. It only takes. It takes, it takes. It's this greedy creature. We all were inside our mothers. All we were takers. We took from our mothers and we caused them pain. And all they gave us was love and care. They were taking care of us in their sleep and when they were awake. They suffered pain for us through all of their time of pregnancy because of this rahm. And that's actually one of the original meanings of the word rahm. From it we get Allah's name, which implies, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, that Allah is unimaginably loving. That's one of the first implications of the word rahmah, is someone who has a lot of care and concern and love for you. Al-wud, al-hub, yashmal fi ma'na rahmah. It's included. These words, these meanings are included in the word rahmah. So when Allah says He has incredible love for you, incredible care for you, He says that by calling Himself ar-Rahman. I have these conversations with Christian ministers sometimes because I live in Texas. So they say, our God is love. You Muslims, where's love in the Quran? You know, show me where love is. Like, it's in the beginning, bro. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's from the beginning that the book is filled with love. It's filled with love. The idea of you being spared punishment is the next name of Allah, Al-Ghafoor. The other name of Allah, when He forgives, when punishment was coming your way and He let it go, He moved it out of your path. He let you go. He let me go. Now, when Allah calls Himself Ar-Rahman with this an at the end, this is called Sighatul Mubalagha in the Arabic language. What that means in brief is someone who is not just loving, but extremely loving. Not just someone who's caring, but extremely caring. And because it's Sighatul Mubalagha, the scholars of Sarf argue that it has huduth, it's happening right now. You know, it's one thing to say that someone loves you. Someone loves you. Someone cares about you. Like, for example, when your dad yells at you, your mom says, he loves you, you know. He loves you. And you say, well, I wish he was loving me right now because I don't feel like that. And she says, no, he cares for you. And you're like, where's the care? I don't see the care. I just see him like going off on me. That's what I see. This is the idea of love is there. The feeling is there, but it's not coming out. When we use a sighatul mubalagha in Arabic, like ar-Rahman, it means the love is inside and the outside. It's showing. It's actually taking place. So we don't wait for the love of Allah to come. We don't wait for the courtesy and care of Allah to come. We're not waiting for it. We're not waiting for His concern to come. It's already here because we use the word ar-Rahman. That's how we began this surah. But actually, like I said to you before, I wanted to talk to you about the last ayah of the surah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal talked about that name of His, Ar-Rahman, that He glorified so much that He made it an ayah by itself. You know, the first ayah is just it's one word, Ar-Rahman. It's an ayah by itself. And Allah makes a demand of us in the Quran when He says, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so they can think deeply about His ayat. He could have made it one sentence, Ar-Rahmanu allama al-Qur'an, Ar-Rahman mubtada, allama al-Qur'an khabar, done. It's easy sentence. But He didn't, He made it two ayat. Because He wants you and me to think about Ar-Rahman before we even read any further. He wants us to stop and reflect, what does it mean that Allah loves you, and loves you more than you can imagine, and He cares for you, and He cares for you more than you can imagine. And it's not like He will show His care, and will show His love eventually. He is already showing it to you all the time.
immediately. It's manifesting on you all the time. The fact that you and I walked over here to the masjid and drove over here in our cars. How many things can go wrong on the road? From you or your car or the guy driving next to you? How many things can go wrong? How many things he protects us from? How many things can go wrong inside my body? Just these two little muscles, these two little guys right here, these eyes, they go off in the middle of the road. What's going to happen to you and me? What's going to happen to us? How many people, their livelihood depends on their eyes. Their entire family's rizq, Allah made it dependent on their eyes. They made it dependent on their tongues. What's a teacher going to do if he can't talk? What's he going to do? Who's going to take care of his health? Who's going to take care of him? You know? This is Allah Azza wa Jal describing to him, to us, Ar-Rahman. But then this last ayah, that really baffles the mind. Wallahi, it is an ayah that I told you, one of the heaviest ayat in the Quran in appreciating Allah Azza wa Jal. Typically, Allah talks about Himself. Allah talks about Himself. In this ayah, Allah isn't even talking about Himself. He's talking about His name. He's talking about His name. And I want you to understand the difference. Allah is teaching us in this ayah that when we do something in His name, when we pronounce His name, and which name is being highlighted? Ar-Rahman. لِأَنَّهَا جَاءَتْ فِي بِدَايَةِ السُّورَةِ Because it's in the beginning of the surah. So when we begin something by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we use Allah's name. There's something powerful in just saying Allah's name. Something will happen in everything that you and I will do. What will happen? Barakah will happen. They say in Arabic, Al-Barakah al-Nama'u wa-Ziyadah. فَوْقَ التَّوَقُّعُ Some add even. Al-Farra added, for example. That barakah in Arabic actually means increase and growth. And it actually means increase and growth more than expected. More than expected. Many of you are in business. You expect the store will make some extra sales this month or that month. Many of you are in, you know, you're an accountant. May you hope to get more business during tax season or something. You know? So you have expectations. But when your business grows way more than expected, you just opened up a dinky little online store and in 2 days you got a million sales. You never expected that. It came out of nowhere. That's what you call barakah. In other words, it's increase beyond expectation. You could not put a logical assumption on where this came from. You couldn't. Allah Azza wa Jal says His name has been fused, has been zapped. It's been hit with the power of barakah. So when we pronounce Allah's name and do something, it will give more good than you will ever expect. You know, somebody plants a seed in the ground and they expect a tree. And when they expect a tree, they expect fruits eventually. They expect that. But if they said Bismillah when planting that seed, it will grow more and give more fruits than any other because of them saying those words. Because of just them saying that, because of them turning to Allah. These ayat make us a people of tawakkul, a people of expectation from Allah. I started with a depressing situation of the ummah. And it's not just a situation across the Atlantic. It's not just a situation somewhere else. How many families are in depression? How many marriages are broken in the Muslim community? How many fathers can't even talk to their sons? How many children refuse to talk to their parents because they say, I can't relate to them. I don't understand how to communicate with them. We are living in a crisis situation outside and inside our homes. This is the state of the ummah today. And you know what? It can become a very hopeless thing. You could start thinking like nothing's going to change. Things are bad and they're going to stay bad. I always fight with my wife. It's going to stay that way because she's not going to change and I know I'm not going to change. So things are what they are. I messed up with my mom, she hates my guts, she doesn't even want to talk to me. Well, it is what it is, what can I do? We give in. We submit ourselves to the situation we find ourselves in. And this is unacceptable because Allah says, Tabaraka ismu rabbik. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable because when we say the name of Allah, we say the name of Allah and do something very small. Something that will you don't expect any results. Not from you, but Allah will put barakah in it. And Allah will. You have to expect that from Allah because He calls Himself Dhil Jalal. The owner of Al-Jalal. Al-Jalal la yuqal illa lillahi azza wa jal. The word Jalal is not used except for Allah. For others you can say Dhil Azma. glory, izzah. You can use izzah for others, azma, greatness, grandeur for others. But jalal is only used for Allah. Allah is saying, if you recognize how noble He is, how honorable He is, then you would never think that the way, when you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when you call on Allah's name of love and care, that Allah will not care. You would never think like that. That thought would never cross your mind. You would always expect from Allah, because He's ar-Rahman. That is what He expects from you. Allah Azza wa Jalla, ala lisani Nuh alayhi salam, on the tongue of Nuh alayhi salam, He gave the people advice that Allah recorded forever in Surah Nuh. Ma lakum la tarjuna lillahi waqara? What's wrong with you people? You don't expect glory or respect from Allah? And this has many meanings, and one of them is you don't give Allah His due respect. You don't give Allah His respect. He's al-Jalal. He's the possessor of al-Jalal, dhul-Jalal. Wal ikram, and of being given honor and nobility. Us giving due respect to Allah means that we believe every time we say Allah's name, every time we say Allah's name, that is going to produce good in ways we can't even expect. And I leave you in these few minutes that I have left, I want to give you and myself a couple of reminders. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a father who's really just really upset with his son. He hasn't spoken to his son for a couple of years. The son even got so frustrated with it, because the son living a haram life, you know? He's doing things that are just clearly haram. And the father keeps telling him and yelling at him and trying to get him to get his act together. Doesn't want to hear it. Eventually the son came back one day and said, I don't even want to be Muslim anymore. I don't believe in Islam anymore. This Islam thing is nonsense. And he starts like saying all kinds of horrible things about the Quran, terrible things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, when you hear these things from a kafir, you can say, okay, al-kafir. When you hear these things from your son, who you gave adhan in their ear, you know, your son, when you did aqiqah for them, your son that you taught how to pray, when that son says those things, I can't imagine the pain. So the father couldn't even finish talking to me, he was breaking up crying. And I said to him, how many years has it been? He says, 3 years it's been. I haven't talked to my son. I said, say Bismillah, because change will not come from you, and it will not come from me. Say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's the month of Ramadan. Just call him. Just, he doesn't even, he says he won't pick up. I said, I don't care if he doesn't pick up. Just call him and leave a voicemail. Just tell him you still love him. Just tell him that you still care about him. Just tell him you don't want to yell at him. You're still his son. No matter what happens, you're still his son. He goes, what's that going to do? He's just going to erase the voicemail. I said, yeah, that's how you and I think. What's it going to do? But when you call on Allah, then you don't know what it can do. You don't know. You know, the mother of Musa alayhi salam put her baby in the water. She put him in the water. Is that easy for a mother to do? To put a baby in the water? And it's a river, so it's not going to stay there. It floated away. She can't even see it anymore. And she couldn't do anything. But in the name of Allah, she told her daughter, Qusihi, follow him. Go follow him. How is that going to guarantee that her son will be safe? There's no logical connection between a little girl walking along the banks of a river and a basket in the middle of the river not drowning. These are not logically connected things. But she had tawakkul in Allah. She did what she could. The rest is up to Allah. The rest is up to Allah. That's how we have to think in our relations. That's why even though the situation may be very depressing, the news keeps getting worse and worse and worse. You and I cannot be the people who expect bad news tomorrow. We should not say from our tongues, it's only going to get worse. We shouldn't be those kinds of people. Unfortunately, we have become that kind of people. We look at yesterday and make projections about tomorrow, and we forget that Allah controls tomorrow. Allah controls what happens tomorrow. This is a matter of our personal iman. We have to have faith in Allah Azza wa Jalla that He will make things better. He'll make things better for you personally. He'll make things better for the people around you that love you. He'll make things better for the people that are causing you pain. And He'll guide them. And He'll make you better so you stop causing other people pain. He has that power. This is Tabarak Asmu Rabbik, Dil Jalali Wal Ikram. How many, our parents taught us, when you start eating, say Bismillah. Say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When you get in the car, when you do something good, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But you know what they were teaching us? They were teaching us that every one of those things that we do will produce more good than you ever imagine. I'll give you one small example. You don't know, maybe you decide you want to start teaching Quran. And you want to bring kids into your home and you want to teach them just the alif ba or something. Right? And only one child shows up. Nobody responded to your flyer. Nobody responds, nobody cares, and just one kid shows up. And their family says, you can teach him. It's fine. If you began with tawakkul in Allah, you don't know if that's the next mujaddid of the ummah. You don't know if there's a million people that will take shahada because of that one child who's learning alif and ba. You don't know. That's what Allah knows. That's what He knows. We can only expect. We can only expect from Allah. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as my slave assumes me to be. If you expect great things from Allah, great things will happen. If you don't, then they won't happen. And don't listen to this, please. My advice to you personally, I don't know you personally, but my advice to you honestly is, if I could get a conversation with you one-on-one, I would say the same thing. Don't listen to something like this and say, I know it's true, but my situation's really bad. I know it's true, brother, but I can't, you know, I can't practically expect things to change. I'm just being practical. We believe in the unseen. You cannot relegate that to the world of the practical. And when you don't expect change from Allah Azza wa Jalla, then how will He give it to you? How will He give it to you? SubhanAllah. The worst enemies of Islam became the best people. There are people here on Jumu'ah today, they only come for Jumu'ah. They only come for Jumu'ah. I don't hate on you. And I can't change, man. I just am who I am. I don't, you know, I feel bad when I don't pray, but I just don't do it. You know, I get lazy, I get busy at work or whatever. You can make 1,000 excuses for yourself. But I'm just requesting you, if you just turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, enable me. Give me the strength. Get rid of my laziness. I know your name has the power to do that. I'm calling on your name. Make me a better Muslim. Get those bad habits away from me. Let me never go back to those websites again. Let me not click and tap on those things on my screen again. Let me get rid of that profile online again. Let me never go back to that again. Ya Allah, I'm turning back to you. If you can do that to Allah, you will see the change Allah will make in you. You won't even realize how much strength Allah will give you. It's not your strength. It is what Allah will give you. And it is what Allah will give me. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people of sincere dua and expectation from Him. May Allah help us understand His book in a way that is pleasing to Him and act on it and live by the sunnah of His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. There are lots and lots of people standing in the hallway, crunched together. Let's squeeze together as much as we can and make room for them.